This podcast is presented by MyBookie.ag. You think you know who's going to win the Bruins game tonight, the Sox game? Put some dough down, man. That's what MyBookie's for. Get into the action with the safest online sportsbook in the world, and it's the only one we recommend to our listeners. MyBookie.ag offers all kinds of different wagers on Major League Baseball. Right now, we're in the thick of the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. It's a wild time. The best thing about MyBookie for degenerates like myself, you can create your own player prop wagers using the prop machine. You heard that right. You can create your own matchups and wagers between any players that are action that day. I mean, that's, you kind of combine a fantasy with legit gambling. You can't beat it. Go check them out now. Use the promo code SPIT for a 50% deposit when you, I'm sorry, a 50% bonus when you deposit. You know, we only recommend this website to listeners because we love our listeners. It's been good to us. It's good to you. You get that Vegas experience. MyBookie.ag is the only place to go. They also got every league in the world. You can bet on the video games, League of Legends, all that crazy stuff if you like it. Plus, they got the casino games, blackjack, roulette, crap slots. MyBookie.ag has it all. Not to mention, you can play all the games on your cell phone, iPad, or tablet, your laptop, whatever. Entirely up to you. You can play from literally anywhere. Talk much. You play, you win, you get paid. So if you want to get into the action this summer, go to mybookie.ag now and sign up with them using promo code SPIT to ensure that you're eligible for all of our future promotions and bonuses. Visit Las Vegas from your couch and try them out today. Once again, that's mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag with the promo code SPIT. Welcome to episode Phil the Thrill Kessel of Spit and Chicklets, brought to you by Barstool Sports. By the way, Phil, open invite. You can come on and bash Simmons anytime you want. What's up, Mikey Grinnelli, producer?
What's up, boys?
Biz Nasty out in the desert.
Not a big name.
And our boy Ryan Whitney on the NHL Network.
Good news. What up?
Earlier tonight, Pittsburgh tied up the series with a 3-1 win. We had a, well, not really controversial goal, but one of those goals that I'll look at again. Currently, Nashville is up 2-0 going into the third. Another live tweet, live blah, podcast in a game here. PK Subban having a hell of a series. Biz, what you think of the game earlier? Pittsburgh, Washington.
Should we start off with Gensel?
Wow, what a heater. He's on like the opposite of Whitney's gambling lately.
No, I'm going to say this.
I'm heating up, boys.
I resent him, Gensel. He's that guy who's, I bet you he drives at 300 yards down the straight of the fairway, can coil like a motherfucker. We know it, right? You know he's winning like, I don't know, 40% of all sewer ball games before the game. He's just naturally good at soccer. And then, like, during playoffs, he's like, okay, I'll start trying a little bit. And then, boom, 21 points, 10 games. Sidney Crosby probably doesn't hurt him, but the guy's just a natural.
Hey, I would be shocked if Jake Gensel isn't packing 7 inches in there. He's just one of those.
Yes.
He's one of those guys, like you said, probably good at golf, grabs a tennis racket. Good at tennis, has an absolute wrench in his pocket. Some people just have it all. And this guy, we've talked about it, he just steps up in the biggest moments. I said he's probably the kid who was 13 years old in the biggest games. He was always the best player. It's you're born with this shit. And I like how you said Crosby. Gensel right now, hey, I got a little stat for us tonight, boys. I got
a nuggets, couple nuggets.
Played golf today, came home. Nice little buzz going. I looked up some stats, RA style.
Gensel,
8-game point streak. First player to do that in the playoffs since 2014 when Andrei Kopitar did it. That's not a big deal. That's not a big deal at all.
I've heard of him.
In a row with a point. I bet you he might never get a an 8-game point streak in the regular season if he plays 20 years. But he'll do it in the playoffs. That's just the type of guy he is.
And he's not scoring like garbage goals either. He's making plays. Like, he's making solid plays. He's scoring impressive goals. I mean, he's not just getting dumb luck playing with a superstar. He's making things happen. He's setting up Crosby as well. It's been impressive as hell.
Oh, the pass, the dangle in the pass he had in game three, that was filth. It was absolute filth. He kind of lost it a little bit, still right between the guys' triangle over to Sid, who 100% is burying that every time. By the way, guys, how about this? How about this for your stat boy, Wit Dog? Crosby, going into today, 9 goals, 16 assists for 25 points in 19 postseason games following a Penguins loss. Tonight, 2 assists. Now has 9 goals, 18 assists for 27 points in 20 games following a loss in the playoffs. And you're talking about showing up after the team loses a tough one? That's so sick that I know I blow Sid. He's gotten me everything I got. He's given me everything I have, but God damn it, is that good.
Well, I mean, back to Gensel, Dirk Diggler playoffs, roller girl right in her hoop every time. he's a ledge.
Are we going to fuck?
Crosby, I said this on radio. I said if he wins another cup and if it's this year, I'm dethroning Gretzky as the greatest of all time, and I'm putting Sid there.
I'm with you. We're gonna
and we're going to get smoked for it.
Yep, we're going to get smoked for it. I don't care. Yeah, he's the best of all time if they win
and,
it again.
And especially because he's like the LeBron of hockey, right? Because social media is important now. It's relevant. So everybody has their say. Oh, he's crybaby, this and that. He puts up with more abuse than anyone, and he's the greatest.
Hey, don't ever say he's a LeBron of hockey. That was the biggest. You think he's the fucking LeBron James of hockey? LeBron James talks about blacking out his social media, and then he's posting after every game. Sid doesn't even have a Facebook account.
What I mean by that is yes, I agree. LeBron's a little corny and a little he's calculated, but I mean as how much hate he gets and how people say he's overrated, he's probably. I would say he's equivalent to Michael Jordan at this point. He'll probably surpass him, but doesn't get that respect he deserves playing wise. Yeah, because he's a nose pick, but you know what the fuck I meant, Witch. Shut up.
Give me fucking Magic Johnson over LeBron any fucking day of the week. I'll say that all day.
Yeah, but part of that's you being like 63 years old. Like, I feel like you're like...
Dude,
like,
no, I think it's recency bias, and nobody has recency bias worse than this current generation. Everything's the greatest, the best ever. Every fucking headline, every tweet, the best this, the greatest that. It's like, motherfucker, you weren't even alive when that happened. You're not an authority. You can't say that was the best ever. I seen Magic play. I seen LeBron play. I'll take fucking Magic. And the whole, oh, LeBron's the best passer ever. He's lucky if he's in the top 5 passing ever. Again, Magic and Bird, and I know I'm sounding a little guy, way better passer than fucking LeBron. And we're okay. Talking about, is this pod my take all of a sudden? What the fuck happened?
Yeah. I can deal with your basketball analysis there, but as far as hockey concerned, back then goalies were wearing black ice goalie pads, street hockey pads. It was a joke. They were standing up for every shot. Defensemen were bagging groceries in the summer. They were terrible. Now, I'm not saying every team's got depth on the back end, but at least they can, cross over. I mean, right?
Hey, so that's because those guys were.
I'm stuck on assist men in the NBA. Give me John Stockton in those wedgie shorts all day long. That guy's a dish.
Dude, isn't it a miracle when those guys play with those shorts how, like, dicks and balls just didn't fall out at all? Like, it never happened, dude. Like, it's crazy. They were packing some serious heat. And
they were probably chucking.
They had worse.
They had a 2-inch inseam, for Christ's sake.
And they had worse legs and wit back then. Anyway, moving on.
So, all right, back to Washington, Pittsburgh. Barry Trotz, a.k.a. Bob Hoskins from Roger Rabbit, Ask a Millennial. Whitney got that one earlier. He does look like Bob Hoskins. What was up with him challenging the fucking after they already reviewed it? It was clearly a goal. What, that was the worst challenge ever. Like, there was not even any indication of goaltender interference.
And the best thing was so the goal happens and he decides to and they review it. He decides to challenge it, and then right when the ref's like, the ref, you could tell he's like, dude, it's a goal. We just looked at it, and then he said goal again, and Trotz is like, okay. Like, what are you doing, bro? They just looked at it for 10 minutes. What are you trying to review right now? And you know what? You know what was great? we got the overhead look of that goal. That was like the exact factor we needed. You could see that right when it went in. It was funny. The Hornquist goal, I was like watching it live. I'm like, oh, that's in the way he celebrated. It ends up being no goal. That one, from live viewing, it looked like no way. It looked like what a save. Even from one of the replay views, I was like, oh my God, hope he got it. And sure enough, Malkin still buried it. So he made his – no, he announced his presence with authority.
Do you guys want me to chime in on that or what?
Well, actually, no, before you chime in on that, the Pens were a lock tonight, boys.
Oh, I know.
I've been cold. Things haven't been good. But I got a lot of money back on the Pens tonight. That was just guaranteed hockey win. And we got two in every series right now. Except for, well, if Nashville holds on to this game, and if they do, I'm starting to heat up. Except for Boston-Tampa. We'll get into that. But we got some exciting games and exciting series. We got some hockey going, boys.
Well, there's two things we haven't visited. We haven't visited the Wilson hit. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't even get a chance to really dissect it. There's a civil war going on Twitter right now about it. He got three games. My only comment would be if he did come up a little bit. First of all, off the ice, I love Tom Wilson. He's a really good person, really good guy. If I played against him now, of course, I would be the guy trying to fight him and stuff. He's been a big factor in this series. Two controversial hits, of course, going back to the last one in game three.
Yep. No, game two.
Game two, I'm sorry. The Wait, one on Schultz.
Yeah, game two.
That was dumb. And of course, in game three, now I feel like Tom's one of those borderline guys who's been given a lot of benefit of the doubt in past, whereas finally it caught up to him and they had to give him three games, a lot of public backlash, whatever. I'm okay with it.
Okay. I got a lot to say. How do I word this right? Scumbag player. Having said that, I'll take him on my team any day of the year. The guy can skate. He's a prick. He's dirty. I called into Barstool Radio earlier this week. Got my Muppet song sing right in my face per usual. And, dude, this guy, hockey was built on dirty players. Mark Messier. Think of these people, dude. There's players who forever have been dirty pricks, and that's how the game of hockey's been played. It's always Bobby Clark. I mean, that's... You hate to play against him. You love him on your team. Tom Wilson makes dirty hits. He goes after guys. He's hit people in the head. He's hit people in the knees. But he's effective. And that hit, the issue I had with that hit was he was going to the bench to change. So then he saw the guy and he's like, all right, I'm going to lay him out, which is completely fine. My issue with the hit, and I think it was deserving of a suspension, I thought three games was heavy, but Ashton Reese... He like looked at him, knew he was coming, and instead of getting out of the way, he's like, all right, I'll try to go toe-to-toe with this guy. I'll try to take this hit. I'll try to take it right in my chest, right in my chin. And, of course, it ended up getting him in the chin. The one angle we saw, and everyone sent the one picture of him with his shoulder looking like it was hitting right into his shoulder. He had his feet on the ice, and it looked like a clean hit. The issue was I saw on the Department of Player Safety video from the other end, it caught him right in the chin, dude. Broken jaw. Jaw was a complete cash register. It was on the other side of his body. And in that aspect, dude, that's a suspension. But in saying all that, fuck, man, he's an effective player out there. He before he got suspended, he was running around killing people the whole series. And, R.A., you mentioned that I bet you the Penguins wish they had Reeves back. I don't agree with that. I think Oleksiak's tried to fight him, and he wouldn't fight him. He certainly wouldn't fight Reeves. And what's going to change?
I think just his presence out there, man, a guy like Wilson probably isn't going to run around as much. I mean, if he has to answer to somebody like Reeves, and Reeves is ironically isn't even skating for getting dressed for Vegas right now. But I mean, I don't know. What we all want, like a forces for. So guys like Tom Wilson don't run around and do their shit. I mean,
I try to stir the Twitter by saying that, but no, in playoff time, just avoid it. He's been a pest and talk about his relevance. On that Mata turnover in game three, when Washington ended up scoring that goal with just over a minute left,
he ran him over.
He was, Well, yeah, Mata turned it over, and he was going to head back. It probably would have been a two-on-two, and he finished his hit on Mata, rolled him over, and that's why they went down two-on-one, and Backstrom obviously made the beautiful play over to him and a nice follow-up by Ovechkin. Wilson has been a factor, and, you know, as dumb as this sounds to maybe some people who are critical of the slugs and the old-school guys.
He's not a slug.
Right, but you know how all these mainstream people online label guys like that. Let's be realistic about it, right? But he's extremely relevant, and hockey embraces guys like that.
So when the hit happened, I saw the replay, and I know Brooks Orpik well. And right when Aston Reese got hit and was skating to the bench, I don't know if you saw, he threw his glove at the Capitals bench. It was because Orpik was like, I don't know what he said. I couldn't read his lips, but he said something to him, probably like, suck on that one, buddy. And that just shows, dude, that he's used to playing with Wilson and this guy running people over, and the whole team loves it. If you watch the replay, Orpik's leaning over the bench, and he's like, he probably said, like, oh, fuck, how does that one taste, bud? And Asher Reese threw his glove at the thing. I don't think he probably knew his jaw was in seven places, but I guarantee you the Capitals love having Tom Wilson on their team.
Yeah, like I called into Boston shortly before you to dummy that midget Nate because he was talking trash. And that's just what I said. He's definitely a very effective player. He's very good at what he does. And he's had a huge role in the series. If he had gotten probably suspended, I think if he was going to be suspended for a hit, it would have been for the first one, not the second one. The second one was just kind of a physics thing. It was a bigger guy hitting a little guy. The little guy saw the hit coming, tried to brace. It was just one of those like hockey plays with an unfortunate result.
I think the injury made it way different in terms of what the suspension was going to be. Grinnelli, what did you think about the hit? We haven't got you involved. In that last episode, we didn't hear from you. I'd like to hear you. You better give a good take here, by the way. I mean, but I want to know what you thought.
I thought it was dirty.
Okay.
But again, I mean, it's such a fast game nowadays, and it's like you really can't, like, it was so close from his jaw to his chin. I just think it's so tough to really dictate, like, you know, the intent of what he was trying to do. But I mean, I don't really think, I mean, 3 games is definitely enough for him.
I thought the Kadri hit was dirtier than his hit, and Kadri got 3 games.
I thought Kadri's hit was way dirtier.
I would agree with that. And I think that after somebody posted a Tom Wilson quote unquote highlight reel of all the dirty hit package, that one was the one from last night was, or 2 nights ago, I should say, was probably the least dirty, but it just resulted in a broken jaw. And like I said, I'm okay with him getting 3 games based on the fact that he's probably gotten away with a lot in the past. I just don't want to argue about these fucking hits anymore. I'm at the point where I'm like, hey, let's just take out fucking hitting so I don't have to read online about the fact that everyone's arguing whether something was dirty or not every single game.
It's actually crazy now and how annoying it is with these hits, and it gets ratcheted up in the playoffs because every, you know, possible player that could be suspended matters so much more than in the 82-game regular season. But it's so painful now, and it's so painful because every hit there's just question marks, and each side comes in, and it's like, I don't know, these hits. Tom Wilson throws that hit 10 years ago, dude. He's getting a pat on the back, and the media's after talking about hit of the playoffs. Yeah. It's just...
Yeah, Scott Stevens made a Hall of Fame career out of those fucking type.
Hey,
they were legal. They were what people loved, you know.
Well, I mean, the same reason we put Gordie Howe on a pedestal. He famous for his elbows. It's just the game. No doubt, the game's changed and it's going in a different direction. But it's amazing how even I was alive when Scott Stevens was throwing those body checks and he was being praised for it. Where now he'd be the Tom Wilson.
Oh, dude, he'd be way worse.
Yeah.
I mean, he was hitting guys directly in the face with the most amazing hits. I remember watching him being like, this guy's incredible. But for everyone that's out there calling Tom Wilson a scumbag, you know what? If you were rooting against the Capitals, if you're a Penguins fan, I'm on board. Yeah, dude, you're right. He's a scumbag. You hate how your team's playing against him and he's injuring people. But if you're a Caps fan, if you're a Caps player, you want the guy all day, every day, twice on Sunday, bringing home the hay. However, I can't keep the rhyme going. He just, I mean, this is a guy that that plays hockey playoff style, and he's going to get suspended here and there. You've seen it happen right now. But when he comes back, he won't change a thing, and he's going to still have people guessing, where is this guy on the ice right now?
Yeah.
Go ahead, all right. Sorry.
I was going to say, scumbag tendencies have long been a part of the game. They always will be. And, you know, there's a price to pay, whether it's financial, penalty, suspension, getting your head punched in. But it's part of the game. These guys all know what they signed up for.
Hey, Biz, is Wilson as good looking as I think he is?
He's a handsome fella.
Holy shit. Some of his pictures, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, he's
look at this guy.
I go to those BioSteel camps in the summer. Not a big deal with McDavid. Not a big deal. He's jacked, tall, rich. Just like it's honestly, it's fucking, it's a joke. He's like the new Taylor Pyatt.
Oh yeah, Pyatt. What a set of eyes on that guy.
Oh, that's the one thing that he's missing is the eyes.
Pyatt doesn't have the eyes.
Pyatt's the 5-star recruit coming out of college. Got every run, or he can run fast. He can catch. He can play physical. He's like Rob Gronkowski times a million.
Well, before we move on from the Pittsburgh-Washington series, I will say the Penguins are now 17-4 after a loss in the playoffs with Mike Sullivan as the head coach. So, you know, the coaches coach, the players play, but that's pretty impressive when you got a guy like Crosby and a coach like Sullivan that after a loss really kind of get guys going, and you don't lose two in a row in the playoffs, you're going to end up winning and competing for cups.
Well, but before, RA, I'm going to throw this over to you, but what do you make of how the coaches are kind of going at each other now? This series has really picked up, and we don't see that a lot in hockey. Sullivan was very animated with his comments about the hit that Wilson gave in the first game where he had the controversial hit. And this, after the second game, he was basically fuck you in the league to step in and do something. And then Trotz fired back right away.
Oh, it's great theater. I mean, you know, you love to see it. It's just, like you say, it ramps everything up. Coaches going back and forth. I love when coaches scream from the bench. And Trotz is a pretty mellow guy. He's a laid-back guy. The media loves him. He's trying to get out of the second round for the first time. I love it. Anytime you could add that kind of drama, like I'm watching right here. By the way, Nashville, 2-0 still, 12:32 left. Laviolette, man, he's a guy who likes to mix it up with some other coaches too. Anytime you have that shit going on, it's great drama. It makes for great audio and great video.
And I'll say this, regardless of your opinion of how you felt about the hit, I respect both coaches for defending their guys. And I don't, it doesn't matter what side you're on. I respect Trotz for backing up Wilson because he's been with him for many years now. And he's went to bat for Trotz, playing hard and putting his body on the line. And the same thing goes for Sullivan and his guys. So regardless of where you lie, I respect both those coaches for doing what they did.
Ditto.
I find it so funny, though, like, a coach could despise a player on his own team. Like, I fucking hate this guy. He's such a little piece of shit. But
like Terry,
come playoff time, if that guy makes a sketchy hit, he's going to be in front of the cameras like, he's our man. It's just like everything gets thrown out the window. You can have people on teams, coaches and players dislike each other. But when you're all going towards that same goal, it's, boys, we're a one-man unit here. We're going at this together. So, yeah, it's pretty cool that the coaches stick up for each other. It's not surprising, but I understand where they're both coming from.
How much in the locker room does that really get the boys going when you hear the coach like kind of stick up for guys like that?
You want me to chime in? I've won one championship in pro hockey, and it was
in the fucking CHL.
No, it was in the A. Not bad.
Yeah, I forgot.
And Mike Stellar's with our coach, and Bud. No, I would run through a fucking wall for that guy. He's my second father. This might sit well with maybe the old school guys, but I had him in junior too. And I was almost afraid of him. Because when you would play bad, he would come in and he would lay into you. But it wasn't, it taught me accountability. It taught me to structure. It taught me everything. And nowadays he's ramped it back because he's had to. He's adapted well. But he made me who I am today. You could come in the room and yell in my face and I wouldn't be fazed by it, but I would say, you know what? Okay, you're right. I could be better. Where now, like, guys are going to call their agents in the locker room, call their parents, and no. I fucking love those kind of coaches. I'll go to bat for those kind of guys any day of the week.
They're like, hold on, hold on. They're calling their agent. They're like, hold on, I'm just finishing up making this green protein smoothie. I'll call you back in 2 seconds. Oh, wait. Oh, I'm getting DM'd on Instagram, and I'm not going to respond because I'm focused for the next game.
Yeah.
Fucking nerds.
Have fucking Michael Terrian blowing fucking cigarette smoke in your face.
Michael Terrian smoking butts on the AHL bus rides. Thanks, dude. I'm awake sniffing in your Marlboro.
Hey, and there's another guy. I know he's taken a lot of heat lately for his comments toward Briere, and those became public. I had him. He was another coach that struck a bit of fear in me. But, I mean, the way it worked out, he taught me that too. He taught me to show up every night or you're going to get called out in front of all your teammates. And yeah, as far as the smoke on the bus, yeah, he would tap the bus driver on the shoulder, have him open
the bus door,
open that little ass window, and he would smoke and literally blow smoke in the bus driver's face so it could get out of the window. And for some odd reason, man, I'd run through a wall for that guy too.
He single-handedly killed half of the AHL bus drivers decades ago with his fucking secondhand smoke.
We should get him on the pod.
Yeah, imagine if we actually got him on the pod. I mean, I always bust his balls and everything, but he was perfect for the AHL. He was perfect because you'll do anything you can to get in the NHL, and he'd strike the fear of God in you that you'll never be there. Not only will you not be there, you'll be down in the Cheese Toast League. And if you didn't listen to him, he's the perfect AHL coach, but you can't treat guys like dirt and blow smoke in their face in the show. It ain't going to work when guys are making 8 sheets.
Hey, I got the Nashville game on. One of my favorite things of this playoffs, I mean, I've seen it before, but there's been a lot of attention paid to it, is Arvidsson's jump screen on the Nashville point shots. I mean, he's not the only guy to do it, but he's definitely one of the best screen guys in the league. But he seems to time that jump perfect a lot.
It's like Soup de Soleil shit.
I don't mind segueing. I don't mind that segue being into the Nashville series. Are we going to wait till the end because it's going on right now?
Yeah, we'll wait till the end. Actually, we'll stay in the West, though. San Jose showed up last night, tied. I think it was 3-0 finally. I kind of blacked out at the bar.
4-0.
There you go. I said I blacked out. I'm sorry.
Had them, boys. I had them.
It's all knotted up. Like I said before, Marc-Andre Fleury, he's looked human in the series. He's still doing a great job, but he's come down to earth a little bit. 2-2, going back to Vegas. How do you see that playing out, guy? Biz, I'm talking to you.
I was going to let Wit go out of respect.
I appreciate that, dude. That's just respecting your elders. I mean, San Jose's a good club, dude.
Yeah, they are.
They're a good club. That Marcus Sorensen, holy shit. That goal the other night was big time. Little head fake after coming out of the corner, beating Alex Tuck. BC guys suck on that. I hate BC. I mean, San Jose at home is, first of all, I think I always forget when we're doing these, we've kind of missed a game in each recording. So I'll go back quickly to game three. Wild fucking Bill Carlson. Are you kidding me with that overtime winner?
It's a nice one.
And his apple during regulation, he like one touched it.
Oh my God. That was insane.
This guy, I didn't know much about him at all. By the way, shout out to an NHL network analyst I was working with. I'm not going to name his name, that goes, who's 71 on Vegas? I was like, that's William Wild Bill Carlson, bro. He had 44 tucks this year. What do you mean he was number 71? But
he's like, where's my $1,500? That's my
case. Oh wait. I'm actually gotta go home. I gotta drive home from Jersey now and not watch the game. But this guy, I didn't know much about him. He is a blast to watch play hockey. He's a typical Swede. He's so smart out there. He's hard in the puck. He's quick. He's got great vision. He does it all well. But that overtime winner, dude. While moving, crossbody snipe, barn in. Jones came out, took out the angle after a beautiful drop pass from James Neal, who had hit the crossbar about 30 seconds earlier. That was just I don't know if you guys watched that game, but all those games have been sick, and they're so late. I feel like the East Coast people get kind of screwed over not watching or not being able to stay up, being pigeons, going to sleep too early. Some big-time hockey being played, and it's like I think that's going seven. I think they all might go seven.
Yeah, Wild Bill's on a heater. He's so oozing good confidence. Just everything he touches is money now. And yeah, big reason for this magical year. How do you feel about Arare?
I think somebody at Columbus has to lose their job for like trading. I mean, I know that I compared David Clarkson's contract situation to leprosy on Twitter the other day, and people were like, oh, you don't even know what's going on. I'm like, yeah, it was a joke. Like, I called it fucking leprosy because like no GM wanted to touch him. But the fact that they gave Carlson, Clarkson, and two picks to not take anyone from their roster is fucking insane when you think about it, because they protected other guys. How did you not see the talent that this kid had? I know he did have great numbers in his previous Columbus career, but it's like, that's like something somebody should lose a job for. Sorry, no disrespect to the Columbus front office, but that's a pretty blatant. I mean, the guy's, he's supremely talented out there. He's 40 fucking goals. That pass Whitney just talked about, incredibly, like the touch pass that slid over to, I think it was Riley Smith who scored. It's just an amazing play. And the fact that not only they let him go, but they gave that much, two a first and a second just to not touch their roster, that's a fuck up. Go ahead, Wits.
Say goodbye to any chance you ever had of getting a press pass at a Columbus game.
I'll see what happens.
we talked about how good coaches are. Pete DeBoer, probably most underrated coach. How about,
because he looks like a drip, dude. He's just like sitting there. He's like, he doesn't like
like, he doesn't, a substitute,
he doesn't
teacher.
Like, he doesn't like, he looks so like,
yeah, it's because these coaches prepare so hard. They're watching like 20 hours of video in a 48-hour span, and they're running on no sleep. So they just really, they're like, they're on strings on the bench. They're like a fucking puppet. But how about the organization in general? They've been relevant. They're like the new Detroit Red Wings. They've been relevant for all.
Detroit won a bunch of titles, though.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
They're like the new, they're like the Washington Capitals.
Okay. Good point. Hey, I'm going to get smoked for that. Can we edit that out?
No. Biz, I got a question for you.
How long have they been relevant, where they've been making like, you know, somewhat cup runs? I know they get bounced usually in like around the second round on average, but fuck, I mean, you know, they're selling ticks, good crowd, relevant. Go ahead.
Biz, we always hear about the, you know, Winnipeg crowd. Obviously, the Nashville crowd has gotten very popular lately. So what's it like going into the Shark Tank? We see it on TV. Sometimes you can't, the noise isn't always indicative.
Metallica.
Sit up there
song.
With.
Oh, bud.
Five bonds in the league or what? Tell us, because you're a West guy. You played there. You do your work there. Now tell us, how loud is it? How hot is it to concentrate as an opponent?
During my time with the Coyotes, probably the most underrated as far as intimidating buildings to go in. And I'll never forget the one game where it was after All-Star break, and I went on a four-day heater in Vegas. But
hey, dude, not to interrupt you. You actually had the sickest snipe of your pro career in that building. I was watching it live.
But I was fucking Danny Heatley, okay? So wait up. So we're up 2-0, and we're midway through the second. And I don't know. I had like an out-of-body experience as Oliver Ekman-Larsson was rolling down the wall. And I was in front of the net just like, I don't know, shoot it. Let's get an offensive zone draw so I can fucking change, because I can't be out there longer than 15 seconds. Because as I mentioned, I was on a four-day heater in Vegas, man. I was cramping up like LeBron, and I'd played like 30 seconds in this game. For whatever reason, my brain's like, push off this defender. So I push off my defender, and I'm in the slot all by myself, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson, sick, sick defenseman. He's gross. He's not even looking at me, probably gives me a no-look pass. And I dropped to one knee like Crosby does, and I just like threw my stick at the puck, and it went top corner, in and out, faster than anything. And I was like, oh yeah! And I went nuts. We went up 3-0. And that was the biggest lead I ever had in my entire career, playing for the Coyotes in San Jose. Whit, calm down. And I went by the knuckle pile. I was in shock, and I went to the bed, and they ended up scoring right before the end of the second. They scored 5 unanswered, and we lost. The building was all over us. I was like, fuck, I should have the game winner, you fucks. I was so mad in the locker room, but I was like, I have my goal.
Dude, I'm not kidding you. I was watching it live. The puck was at the red line from hitting the net. It bounced in and out and went to the red line before you could even celebrate. It was a snipe and a half. And I was like, dude, he must have clear tape over his stick right now. Hey,
the whole bench was like in the where the water's at, laughing, and then we got routed.
Hey, quickly, I forgot to mention in the series, because in that series, game three, I'm thinking before, the save Fleury made in overtime on Couture. My God, dude. By the way, Couture is like, is it Couture or Couture? I'm thinking Juicy Couture.
Remember those haute couture?
They used to wear those like in the sweats with the Juicy on the booty?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, until like 10-year-old girls.
So Couture, Logan Couture, I mean, that guy buries that 1,000 out of 1,000 times, and Fleury just chucks the leather up there and he's laughing after, and then they go on to get the W by Wild Bill. It's just like the most classic Vegas win with Fleury, who's playing. I mean, you know, it's 2-2 now, but Fleury's playing the best hockey of his career. So, I mean, shout out to me being wrong on Vegas, but I still got my chances up with San Jose winning this series. I'm alive on all my picks, boys. I'm not dead yet like the first round.
All right, I'm a little choked. I jumped off the San Jose bandwagon because I had them in the first round, dummy in the Ducks, and I was right. Vegas, the way they beat LA, just swayed me. But, man, I think San Jose is going to take this one.
And it's impressive to do it without Joe Thornton. I mean, yeah, he's, you know, one of the oldest guys in the league, but he still produces. He's one of those, you know, kind of, well, he's a monster, but soft hands like an Adam Oates type, that like Adam Oates played till he was like 42. So they're doing it without him makes it even more impressive. You know, Martin Jones, who was a Bruin for about 2 days, he's, you know, he proved he was a cup-capable goalie a couple of years ago when he got them to the cup. But, I mean, I picked Vegas in 7. I'm going to stick with that. I don't know if there's a team like them with that just keeps running four lines at you nonstop like that. It's impressive to watch.
Boys, we talked about it in the first round. Can I jump ship on my pick?
No. Sure. No.
It only matters if you bet him. That's really
all right. All right.
Dude, you can't switch your pick. Like, that would give our podcast like no credibility. And when you have somebody like me, an NHL analyst who's been picking out of his tits, like, we have to keep the credibility in our dude.
Okay, well, now saying that, speaking of credibility, let's move on to Boston and Tampa.
Oh,
and Stamkos shoved it right up my hoop with the change tape. He ends up getting a second of the playoffs. And Grinnelli, this one's on you. You guys posted the clip of what seemed me like really insulting him. By the way, I love Stamkos, and me essentially calling him a mental midget for changing tape.
Did you text him?
There was nothing essential about it. You said it.
But I have a confession to make. I kept checking his Twitter and Instagram to see if he unfollowed me because I made that comment. And Grinnelli, no, because Grinnelli made it seem like I was all over him, and I was a little bitter about that.
Grinnelli did you dirty, dude.
Grinnelli, defend yourself. I love you. I would wash your car if you wanted me to, and I'm happy you scored that goal. Congratulations.
Hey, no joke. Bugsy Malone texted me the other day. He's like, hey, we got 7 guys going on a golf trip to Vancouver, like, end of June, and Stammer was one of them. He's like, hey, man, like, we think you'd be the perfect 8, but just make sure you don't bring Biz. Stammer hates his guts. No joke.
Oh. Ba-dum-bum.
The guy's a player, though. Okay, back to that series. If you're a Boston Bruins fan right now, you can't be happy. Whit. All right, we'll go to you next. But this, what?
Did he really say that?
God, dude, it was out of nowhere.
I'm gonna text him if he said that.
It was out. I'll send you the text. It's not good. He's like, I know you and Biz might travel together for the pod, but Stammer says no Biz. It is.
Ouch.
Call him.
I'd be less devastated if my girlfriend broke up with me right now.
Hey,
I'm serious.
No, I'm just kidding, bro. I'm just fucking with you. Stammer loves you still. I mean, dude, he was a mental midget.
My heartbeat was at 180.
Guys, by the way, he got a empty netter. It's not like, you know, he didn't shove it up your hoop that bad.
Kinda. Anyway.
Either way, Tampa right now is dominating. I mean, they've looked way better than the Bruins. They're shutting out any chance they get. The Bruins are trying to do too much again, I think. I thought the Bruins would run away with Game 3 and Game 4. Shows what I know. That's been made clear all playoffs. But right now, RA, you can't be too happy. You cannot be happy.
No, I thought last night they – they played like a team that come out like knowing that they can come back because that's what they do, and they've done it all year. But that's not the approach you have in the playoffs. You got to come out from the hop. They didn't. Tampa took it to them. Tuca was fine. I mean, the Grizzy, who's been almost perfect for a rookie, had a tough turnover, ends up in the back of the net. Boom, another one. Before you know it, it's 3-0. Of course, that's why you always say the best time to be down 3-0.
No, it's 2-1.
I was drinking margaritas.
No, but when the Bruins made it 2-1, that Tampa scored quickly to make it 3-1.
Okay,
right,
all right. I misremembered Roger Clemens style. Bottom line is, Bruins didn't come out to play. Tampa did, and the cold start or the dead start, whatever you want to call it, it killed them. They had to play catch up all game. Vassie made some saves, and they were just like discombobulated. Like they can't come out and think, oh, we can come back whenever we want because it's the playoffs, and that's not the approach to have. And yeah, pivotal cliche, pivotal game four. Well, you know, I don't think we've seen the Bruins' best game yet. They were good in game one, but I don't, Tampa was more bad than anything. I think we'll see their best punch tomorrow night because they have to throw it. Otherwise, they're going down 3-1, and that's a recipe for disaster.
It was an unacceptable start for the Bruins, and it was extremely unacceptable if you're going to look back and see Pedro Martinez in a goddamn Bruins jersey waving the flag with Bobby Orr. I mean, Grinnelli, I was actually on board. You're like, Pedro's waving the flag. This is a bet of the year. Of course I bet him. They lost. I mean, what was that? You think that old Petey would have got him more fired up?
Bobby, too. No Bobby. I mean, you got to win for Bobby.
I think overall it was just too much. It was Pedro, Bobby, Rene. Four fucking fist pumps. Are you kidding? Listen, I don't want to go there yet. Let's tone it down. I don't want to be too negative towards you guys, your Boston guys. If I could have picked a lock in the second round, I would have said Tampa over Boston for the simple fact that I thought they were going to run out of gas. I wasn't so concerned about the first game, which Boston ran away with. Tampa hadn't played in, 2 weeks because they rolled through New Jersey. But I just felt that they were going to steamroll Boston. And boys, I hope they shove it up my ass, but I think you guys are hooped.
If Palat keeps playing like this, that guy looks unbelievable, and that whole line is just dominating.
Hey, my buddy had a crazy bet on Palat's opening scoring the other night. I want to say he bet $5 and won $5,500.
Was he the same guy who tweeted at me? He bet 10. It said 10 Canadian, and he won $1,000. So it had to have been 100 to one that Palat.
So it went from 5 to 5,500 to 10 to 1,000.
Wait up.
And I retweeted it, and then the kid deleted it. And I was like, hey, look, don't put a fucking winning ticket on Twitter if you don't want it on Twitter. Like, I mean, I'm like, I wasn't trying to blow the kid's spot up. I thought he wanted people to see it, and he deleted it, which is fine. But it's
did
like, man.
Did he show the ticket, or did he just
tweet? No, I saw his – he took a screenshot.
I'm reading the text. I bet Palat to score the first goal in tonight's game. For some reason, the odds were way too good. 101-1 odds.
That had to be first two goals. There's no way he would have been 100-1 for the first goal.
Two goals in the first 2 minutes. He won $5,500.
It had to be. It had to be.
It had to have been like either two goals or the first two goals, because no player would ever be you. Biz, you wouldn't even be 100-1 to score the first goal.
He's a buddy I did a documentary with. He's not a liabetic. He'll send me the stub.
No, I don't doubt you. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I think you know you're not a gambler, so I think you might be getting the lingo wrong. But yeah, if you get the receipt, show them. So, anyways, yeah, the Bruins look like shit. They need to step it up. Again, Rask wasn't the problem. I think the. What do you call it? The matchup problems. Cooper's kind of probably out coaching Bruce a little bit right now. And the thing is, yeah, Boston's, well, Stammer got an empty net. They're shutting down Cooch and Stammer, but their depth is so fucking good, they're getting toasted elsewhere. Riley Nash, he was great all year. The Bruins call it an ear laceration. He was clearly concussed at the end of the year, and I think we're starting to see the effects of that a little because he was a spark plug for them all year, and he's struggling a little bit. I think that concussion / ear laceration. Wink, wink. Might be catching up with them a little bit, but yeah, not all the marbles, but biggest game of the year tomorrow night.
Yeah, and Rene Rencourt's already doing his four pumps, dude. Take a hike,
dude. I'm gonna talk about this.
He's got to be the scapegoat of game three. He
that wax face fuck.
Oh boy.
I wouldn't go that far. He was excited. I felt like he got caught up in the moment, and I just felt the four fist bumps with Pedro and Orr with the towel waving. I feel like Rene threw off their feng shui and really fucked this one up. They couldn't recover. Two goals right off the hop, and he's accountable. And that's what I like about Rene. He better bring his shit in game four or they're toast.
They are toast. They got to get it going. We need four game seven. So if that one goes down 3-1, it's probably not good.
Speaking of tied series, Nashville is about 20 seconds away from tying this one up. By the way, Pekka Rinne has been absolutely outstanding tonight. An unbelievable show he's put on. He hasn't given up a goal to this Jets roster. I think it was I saw the first time they didn't score a goal. The first two periods they didn't score. Well, obviously they're going to get shut out. So, you know, this one's pretty much in the bag. 2-2. I'll tell you who's been an entertaining player in this series. I know I mentioned Arvidsson's jump screen, but he's been kind of helter-skelter a little bit. PK, man, he's always doing something out there. I mean, he just took a late kind of penalty, you know, 2-0. It could have been a bad penalty. They did kill most of it. But he's got two goals, three assists, 5 points. I know he's like a dash five or whatever, but he's been a difference for them, I think.
Oh my god, dude. Winnipeg just scored.
Oh, just ha!
And you just said if they fucking tie this up already, and I lose this bet, I'm gonna drive to South Boston and fucking swivel you.
The dangers of live pod. Look at that beard on line 8. So all right, it's 2-1 Nashville, 49.6 left. So it ain't over yet.
You brought up Subban.
Still a good series.
Why? Yeah. I watched game three. And before I get into Subban, how about this stat? Teams that faced a three-goal deficit were 0-28 in the 2018 playoffs until Winnipeg won after being down 3-0 in Game 3. They ended up winning 7-4. So if Nashville holds on here, they could make a right with themselves in the locker room that they should have won both on the road in Winnipeg. But with Subban, I'm watching Game 3, right when he touches the puck, the whole place starts booing him. I'm not kidding you. I was sitting on the couch with my buddy. I go, he's going to score. Guaranteed he's going to score. If you get booed like that on the road, it's like, that's the best feeling in the world as a player. You get booed at home like I did, it sucks. That was miserable. When people make signs, trade Whitney at your own barn, that blows. If you go on the road and you get booed, it means you're a baller. Like, why are they booing him? I don't know. I'm assuming it was because of the slash that he gave Line A or the cross check. But still, I mean, it's like when the Penguins fans used to boo Jaromir Jagr when he was on the Rangers. We played him in the playoffs. The guy would he'd get going. He'd be better when they started booing him. I'm like, stop booing him. Be quiet when he touches the puck. We'll be better off.
He's one of the few players in sports who can draw that much attention to himself and put him in those situations where, for instance, he goes on the road and gets booed and he just, his talent elevates. To me, that's a special gift.
He's a gamer, dude.
Say what you want about him. You might hate him. You might hate how he draws all that attention to himself and how he carries himself.
The Canadian should, dude.
To be a showman like that and be able to show up when you know everyone hates you in the building, that takes a special type of jam, and that's the kind of jam you want on your team. That's borderline cocky confidence that he's flirting with that line, but he brings it.
Hey, when the Bruins won the Cup, they beat the Canadiens in overtime at Game 7. He tied it up with like a minute to go with a rocket one-timer and just gave a shush to the whole crowd. And that was like 7 years ago, wasn't it, when the Bruins – when was that, 2011? Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that was early in his days in the NHL. Rocket one-timer with a minute to go in Game 7 and shushes the crowd. I was like, all right, this dude has what it takes to just be a complete gamer.
And I'm shocked that last year in playoffs – I felt like the Predators kind of shut him up because he was kind of trolling Crosby and those guys in the finals about the Listerine and bringing it to the rink and stuff. And as soon as they toned him down, it seemed like the series was done, where they should have kept letting him go. He was in Pittsburgh's kitchen, and he's one of those guys that can do that type of stuff where it's not like hockey hates it, but he thrives off it. And to me, that's what sells the tickets. Whether you like it or not, he's getting those eyeballs. Sells the game.
Like, I feel like he's one of those guys that, like, the more people that he pisses off, the happier he is. He's he's like, every old school hockey donkey's gonna hate me, and I love every second of it. So it's pretty impressive, actually, to watch. And, you know, we got a tie series here. It's 1 second left. So if they end up tying this one, it'd be a legendary mush on myself. But
oh my
that
God.
Should be another 2-2 series. So if the Bruins can win, we'll have 4-2-2 series. In Winnipeg's case, Mark Scheifele, I know he's my man crush lately. Going into this game, he had a 5-game point streak of multi-points. He had 2 or more points 5 games in a row. So this is a guy who's on the cusp of becoming – oh, my God, Line A. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They actually got a chance. Tie series, though, and Witt's 2-0 tonight. Suck on that, haters. How are you?
Hey, what's your run right now? Are you 3-0 in the last 3 bets?
No, because I had the I had the Bruins in game 3. I was really confident, but I also had the Washington Nationals today. Nice little 3-1 win. Little afternoon baseball action for the boys.
You're turning to Portnoy. Desperate. You're turning to Portnoy on us.
Hey, guys, I got to bring up something.
Let's hear it.
Do you know that sexual performance issues are more common than you think?
I do, Ryan.
Over 25% of new ED cases are guys under 40, boys. 40% of men by age 40 struggle from not being able to get and maintain an erection.
Stats guy.
That's a boner. Even the world's greatest actors can't fake it. And why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing when they could turn instead to medicine and science? You know what the solution is, fellas? 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and all that good stuff for men. Thanks to science, ED can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat ED. Well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help you combat ED. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements from China. Prescription solutions backed by science. No waiting room, no awkward doctor visits. Hey, doc, I can't get this wrench going. Can you help me out? No line. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's so easy. Being your best means performing your best. I'll tell you that for free. No in-person doctor visits. I promise you, not anymore. It's erectile without the dysfunction. Try Hims for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy, maybe even thousands. Go to 4hims.com/hockey. That's 4hims.com/hockey. F-O-R-H-I-M-S.com/hockey. Boom. How was that, guys?
What a read.
Hey, is it good for 4hims that I just got hard while reading that?
it's no better endorsement.
Spank it
All right, guys. We're approaching. We talked to our listeners about what they were looking for in the length of podcast. We appreciate the feedback. I mean, you know, sometimes when we're just going, it'll go an hour and a half. We're going to try to keep it between an hour, 10 minutes. I think we'd always want to kind of keep you guys wanting more as opposed to getting the content and our whole action a little stale. But, Biz, there's one thing I need to bring up since we're post-series. You and Daniel Carcillo on the on the Twitter machine.
Oh, yeah.
What's he talking about?
Okay, so I guess I'll start from the beginning. I play with Carsey in the American Hockey League in Wilkes-Barre. He was drafted by Pittsburgh. Go ahead.
Why don't you retell the story of what that I made you tell first time you came on, how I walked into my first training camp and saw you guys at center ice?
Yeah, we scrapped, man. I like to mix it up. I was competitive and so did he. He was a pest in junior. You know, for many people who know Daniel Carcillo and his time in junior in professional hockey, you know, he was one of those edgy players. You know, there's a lot of controversial hits, a lot of dirty plays, and that's the way he played. That's the way he made a living. Now, God, I don't even know where to fucking go with this.
But why don't you explain why don't you explain the exchange on Twitter?
Okay, so but I have to back it up. So 2 weeks ago, I was in Australia, and if everyone's been following Dan Carcillo on social media, he's been very aggressive about the CTE, the brain injuries, and the trauma, and what they can cause in the future. Like I said, when he played, he was a very dirty player. he's grown up a lot. He met his wife now. He's had a kid. After he retired, or maybe his, in his last season, a really unfortunate incident happened when Steve Monitor, who suffered from concussions and dealt with a lot of depression, he committed suicide. He was one of Dan's best friends. And that, I'm assuming with what he's, Dan has done afterward, that hit him really hard. And I commend Dan on spending the last 2.5 years of his life researching, learning about CTE and brain injuries and what it can cause, and trying to educate people on that. So he's been going on Twitter and doing that type of thing. And keep in mind, I'm 100% in belief that brain trauma and the hits to the head will cause CTE. I'm not denying that. And I am totally down for everyone being educated on it. So fast forward, or I guess rewind in today's case, to 2 weeks ago, I was in Australia. And on Twitter, Dan wrote to me and he said, "Hey, Biz, why don't you chime in? You know a lot about brain injury, considering you played in that role and you probably delivered it," and or something of that context. And I replied to him. I was like, "Hey, Carsey," I'm like, "I really don't know much about it. I haven't researched it. I couldn't even tell you what the letters CTE stand for.
You couldn't even spell it.
But I'm aware of what's going on right now." After I replied that, he direct messaged me and he says, "Hey, do you feel handcuffed because you work for an NHL team that you can't talk about this whole CTE thing? And then the fact that the league is denying it's even correlated?" Listen, the league's denying it for obvious reasons that I don't have to say. If you can't figure out why the league is denying CTE and its correlation, then you should have probably stopped listening to this podcast before it began. So he mentioned, I said, "Hey, listen, I don't know much about it. Come on the podcast, talk about it. I'd love to chat with you and educate people on this topic." And he wrote back, "Awesome. Can't wait. I want to educate people. People need to hear. I've been studying this for 2.5 years. So I get back from Australia. I've had a ton of stuff going on with trying to release the documentary, get this thing going with you guys, and other personal stuff. So the other night when that hit happened with Wilson, when Trotz and Sullivan were going back and forth, I was saving quotes, and I saved one of them by a writer out east. And Carsey came at me and called me a phony because one of the tweets was related to the Wilson hit and assumed that I probably was okay with the hit because Trotz said that. But I wanted to save the quote to say on the podcast.
So you liked a tweet that said Trotz's quote didn't think the hit was bad?
Correct. And now I like things to save them so I can go back and read on them.
It's a point.
And sometimes,
man,
I like things because I like them, but there's no correlation. Like, it doesn't mean I endorse it because I like it. It means because I want to save it and maybe go back to it, or you said something nice.
Exactly. I do the same too. It's like a bookmark, Paul. Even though Twitter now has a bookmark to further confuse the issue.
Right. And people have been, thank you, RA, and people have been saying, "Hey, why don't you just bookmark it?" Well, guess what? What's I don't want to take another step just to make you feel comfortable so you don't have to jump to conclusions and rag on me because you think I agree or endorse what that person said. Fuck off. The world's too sensitive. Fuck you if you think that. I'm going to keep liking them, and that's just the way I'm going to do it. So when he attacked me, I was in shock. I was like, "Man, I literally talked to you 2 fucking weeks ago about coming on the podcast because I wanted to give you a platform to talk about what you've been passionate about.
Why you call me a phony, bro?"
He called me a phony when a lot of people have been denying him and blocking him and are sick of the way he's been handling it. And I can sympathize with the way he's handling it because I'm sure a lot of people who are affiliated with the league can't step in because it's their jobs. They're working for the league and they're basically in a legal confrontation whether CTE is correlated. For the same reason that now I can't come on and interview him. But I'm going to take the high road here and say I appreciate and respect what he's done. I want him to keep educating people on it. If someone doesn't think a hit's dirty or not, it doesn't mean they don't think that CTE is correlated with it. Stop attacking people online. And I've talked to you guys, and I'm willing to give him a platform, and he can come on the end of next podcast and talk for as long as he wants about the subject he studied for 2.5 years, which I agree is correlated and how it all makes sense. And I appreciate the fact that he's done it, but don't call me a fucking phony. I'm a guy's guy. I'm the one guy who gave him the outlet. Why are you laughing, Gridelli?
Guy's guy is such a great word, to just great term to describe you.
You are a guy's guy.
And I feel bad for him, but I just feel like he's going about it the wrong way. He went after Roenick tonight. He went after Rivers. He went after Prust. Listen, if the players think the hit's clean, it's a different subject. Stop attacking guys. Come on the podcast, educate people about it. I don't want to get in a battle with the NHL. I can't afford lawyers. I didn't give Sidney Crosby outlet passes and collect paychecks.
I can't afford lawyers. Or chip off the glasses that he would pick up. Wasn't even necessarily tape to tape.
Clear tape to clear tape. And I shouldn't have overreacted on Twitter. I was so shocked. And then his rebuttal to me was, that was 2 weeks ago. I assume people would move faster when dealing with human issues. I have not devoted the last 2.5 years of my life to this. I wanted him on the podcast, and I totally forgot we'd even had that conversation. If he would have saw my tweet and messaged me via text and said, hey, when am I coming on the podcast? I would have said, oh yeah, shit, Carsey, yeah, come on next week. So
yeah,
I don't know what else to say other than I appreciate what he's done. I just feel like he's going about it the wrong way. He's turning a lot of people off. And then these idiots started coming after me. Like I fucking was commenting on the Wilson hit. I was like, you fucking morons. I didn't say a word about it. And then all the responses were like, oh, yes, I hadn't read into it. I apologize. It's just like, well, then fucking read into it. All you need to do is hit the buttons and go back and read. It's not that hard. Reading comprehension.
Yeah, he's well-meaning biz. Like, you know, he's been through a lot, and, you know, he may have it himself given his career. And, you know, he took a lot of punches to the head. And, yeah, his method isn't the best right now for trying to get people to rally to his cause.
I just think, man, there's going to be dirty hits. Like, I don't know what I don't know if Kars wants hitting to go away, or I don't really know what his end goal is besides to educate people. But, dude, when we're gone and the NHL's around in 50 years, or fuck, I'd love to live another 50, but it's going to be the same arguments, man. Like, it's a fast, physical game that's only getting faster. People are going to get hit in the head. People know what's going on now. It's a little different. People now know, especially in the NFL and the NHL, I got a chance of having big-time brain issues in my future, and guys are still going to agree to play. They love hockey. They'll do whatever it takes to be in the NHL. So I respect what he's doing, like you said, but you got to understand that a lot of people don't really care, and that's a kind of a blunt way to say it, but a lot of people don't.
I deal with things daily based on what happened to me while I was playing, and that's fine. I assume that risk, and I understand that there's a correlation to me doing that and problems down the road. But I made a lot of money doing that.
And not that much.
Hey. Enough where I think, listen, I was given that opportunity. I don't want to comment on the lead side of things, but Carsey made a lot of money to run around and cause a lot of ruckus. And if he wants to fight that fight, I congratulate him. I support him on doing that. I don't want to join it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Don't ridicule me for not wanting to join your fight. You've dedicated your life to that now because of things that have happened in your life. I respect that. But don't drag me in and call me a phony about it. That's fucking insane.
Kind of like a frat party. You don't want to join. You just want to go drink the beer.
Yeah, exactly. all right. And as we wrap this up, guys, so listen, we got a lot. I got a bunch of phone calls. Not phone calls. I got texts from my friends who listen, and I got some tweets that my audio was a joke last week. It sounded like I was in a wind tunnel, blah, blah, blah. Listen. We're new to us for recording each time via the internet. I do have a microphone. People are like, what's he on? Is a fucking Nokia with Snake on it? No, I'm on a microphone, dude. I'm learning how to talk into a microphone. That hasn't been great. But for all listeners out there, we do apologize that it's not as crystal clear, because I'm right on board. When I listen to a podcast or a radio show and the audio sucks, it is annoying. But we're going to get it figured out as we get a little better. We get a new program. I learn how to use a mic. I move into a new house. I'm going to set up my office and get a nice mic hanging from the ceiling. It'll be fucking beautiful. So we're working on it. So when it is bad audio, we apologize. But listen, just help us out a little bit. Don't be chirping me via Twitter. I get chirped enough in my everyday daily life. So I don't need you coming to me telling me I sound like I'm in a wind tunnel and I got big ears.
I was told I have a good mic, so just, I don't.
Yeah, you're the one everyone says sounds great. So I hope this episode's better, but we'll be working on it. And I guarantee you by at least the summer when everything, you know, when we can kind of take some time. Actually, maybe when we go to the offices and we figure everything out, we can kind of get a little more settled in. But for now, when the audio is bad, just listen and fucking enjoy it. And don't
say audio one more loser. Time.
I love you guys. I love you guys. I got to go to sleep.
Thank you for letting me talk about the Carcillo incident. Once again, I respect what he's doing. And you guys have agreed. Look, we're going to give him our platform to educate everyone on what he's been studying for 2.5 years. I meant no ill will by liking that tweet. I was fucking rattled when he called me a phony because I'm the opposite. Even though he's been attacking everyone, I still reached out to him and said, hey, come on the podcast and talk about what you've learned. And I was fucking choked.
So on that note,
hey, I'm gonna end it with a quick story about Dustin Byfuglien. This is a secondhand story. I don't know whether it's true. I'm gonna hope we get confirmation at some point. So when he first started out in Chicago, he was having weight issues, and I don't think that's any surprise to anyone. Everybody knows about the past.
He's a legend.
And so apparently one summer they wanted him away from home to come train in Chicago. And I don't know who the GM at the time was. And he called him in and said, hey, I want you on a diet. I want you eating well. Sure. So while he was in Chicago training, he ended up going to a Cubs game and like getting into some beers and stuff. And sure enough, he went outside and ended up getting like this big street meat smorgasbord and just starts scarfing it down. Yeah, so he's like dialed into it, just eating, like face in it. And all of a sudden, he hears his name called and he turns around and it was the GM. he saw him scarfing down the smorgasbord street meat less than 2 weeks after he called in there to basically lose weight.
Hey, when my rookie year in the NHL, I started in the AHL, and after the season ended, I got sent back to the AHL for playoffs, but I was like, dude, I just had 38 points in the show. I'm going back to the minor league playoffs. Hope we lose first round. I can go to Coachella. Dude, so I was getting McDonald's pancakes. You know, they're like called hot cakes. I was getting them and bringing them to the rink and just pouring syrup all over them and eating them. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, who the fuck am I to bring in McDonald's to pregame skate? And Therrien, he came down. He wasn't even the coach, dude, because he was already the Pittsburgh coach. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? Eating fucking McDonald's? Fucking eat McDonald's with the syrup? You fucking pouring the syrup all over their fucking pancakes? You fucking slob? Look at your body. By the way, that's my Mexican French accent. I gotta go to sleep. I love you guys.
Love you. Hey, peace.
I like that one.
I wouldn't go so far.
Coward.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Let me.